You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what sports talk radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this March 10th, 2026. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is the Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us on what's turned out to be a gorgeous day here in the Auburn Opelika area. Hopefully, everybody slept okay last night. You slept through the monsoon tornado hurricane thing that came through. That was pretty wild stuff. I was still awake, and I was like, man, what the heck is that? And I got up and looked out the window, and it was like, oh my God! Yeah. Like it was going down last night, but it's all good and everything is cleared up today. And man, we got a ton to talk about here on the show: basketball, baseball, maybe some football as well. I mean, there's all sorts of stuff to go over for the next 2 hours. But happy Tuesday, Christian.
Happy Tuesday, man. Doing well.
I didn't ask you how you were doing.
So, yeah, I know. I know you didn't. everybody always asks what's up, not how are you.
And
yeah, it's pain.
Jeez,
doing well. Yeah,
wow. We're 2 minutes in. Sorry, what a dark turn that took.
Happy Tuesday is what we'll.
Yeah,
we'll,
it is a happy Tuesday.
It is very much so. It's warm Tuesday. My goodness,
almost too warm.
I think I'd almost be willing to go that far.
Yeah, should be good weather tonight though for baseball. I haven't looked at the radar for this evening.
Oh yeah,
I think it's cleared out. I think it's gone.
It's going to be 80 degrees at first pitch. It'll get down into the mid to low 70s.
Love it.
Come the seventh inning stretch. And so should be a beautiful night for baseball. It's been a couple really good days for baseball here in Auburn, Alabama. But excited to be able to talk a little bit about this team. Again, as we know that Tuesdays is our deep dive into Auburn baseball. We'll do that here in just a little bit, talking about the wins over Winthrop, kind of recapping game by game. Also, UAB in town tonight. We also have the head man, Coach Butch Thompson, joining us on the show here this afternoon to start hour number two, as one of the members of the Auburn baseball team does every single Tuesday. But starting it off with a little bit of a conference tournament conversation, as there are teams that have already punched their ticket, teams that are on their way to punching their tickets, and there are the major conference tournaments that are beginning here today, this morning. Some of the games are already final. A lot of them couldn't start it tomorrow as well. So a really fun conversation on that side of things, kind of continuing the conversation we started yesterday on how much impact are these conference tournaments truly going to mean for the big teams, the teams that are kind of in the middle that are on the verge of possibly jumping a seed line, mm-hmm. versus the teams that are kind of staring at the bubble, looking at it, whether it's on the right side in or on the looking at it from the outside perspective. A lot of those conversations here to start hour number one.
Yeah, I mean, you look at what's happening in college basketball. Arizona State already beat Baylor in the Big 12 tournament. That's an Arizona State team that's moving on from its head coach, from Danny Hurley.
That's right. As of this morning, or was it last night?
I think it was.
Or was it a couple of days
ago? I thought it was like late last week that they made that announcement.
Oh, they might have.
Maybe I'm wrong.
Maybe it was just the update that I saw, yeah, that it was they won after.
Yeah, well, it's been known that they're not bringing it back, but yeah, then they just go out and win their first game of the Big 12 tournament. So
it's what happened with Kansas State, too, after that whole debacle went down.
Gosh.
But they went out and they were big time underdogs.
That's right.
And destroyed. I forgot who it was, but
that's still an ongoing situation.
Oh, very much so.
They're gonna lose. They will lose that scenario. They will lose that situation.
Kansas State's still fighting for it.
Jerome Tang's fighting for it. Because Kansas State, remember, they fired him.
They fired with,
and he's saying that was wrongful cause and you didn't have you didn't have cause, basically, right. is what Kansas State is saying. And they are going to lose that. They will owe him a lot of money. So
I would imagine
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, college basketball is going on right now. Pittsburgh and Stanford are playing in the ACC tournament. I can't believe we don't already have that on here in the studio. We'll get on that.
Yeah, that's
yeah, it is. It's okay. ACC tournament underway. Big 12 tournament underway. Big 10 tournament starts tonight as well. Of course, the SEC tournament will begin tomorrow.
Conference tournament. You didn't stay up last night.
Dude, great game last night. Great game. I didn't stay up and watch the whole thing, but a great result. How about Santa Clara? Unfortunately, an upset in that tournament means that Gonzaga's probably going to win the stupid thing.
Well, that was the one I was talking about. I was talking about Gonzaga's great win over Oregon State.
Oh, it was close, actually. Oregon State kept that within single digits.
They did, yeah, 65-56.
Santa Clara upsets. Wow. Could not get that word there. Upset St. Mary's last night. So Santa Clara and Gonzaga tonight, 8 o'clock out in Las Vegas, the West Coast Conference Tournament or the Weak Coast Conference Tournament. And so that's going on. The Conference USA Tournament's going on. The Southland Tournament's going on. I mean, Big Sky tonight. You're going to stay up and watch Idaho and Eastern Washington.
Of course.
Yeah. The Eastern Washington, what? Do you know Eastern Washington's one? Do you know Eastern Washington's mascot? I wouldn't have known this.
Aren't they?
Their logo is sweet.
Aren't they the Eagles?
They are.
Yeah.
They
are. It's like a white and maroon eagle, right?
Black and red. Uh-oh. But the wings of the eagle are EW for Eastern Washington.
I saw that for some reason.
Dude, that is sweet.
How nice is it, too, that I'm turning on the TV and seeing news about Romeo Doubs? So what else was that uncalled for.
That was uncalled for. That sucks. I'm so mad about it. We do have that on the docket a little bit today, just to go over like other sports things, including World Baseball Classic, NFL free agency, the players coming up this week. Like we have a small segment for that on the show today. But yeah, that hurt. Go be great, King.
That was as soon as I walked. That was one of the first things I said to you today, because it happened as soon as I walked in the door.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, hey. Oh, no, it happened.
Yeah, I was not. I mean, we.
It was the fear for a couple of days, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. We knew it was going to happen, but it just, yeah. And it's not even like, I don't like the Patriots, don't get me wrong, but. Anyway, we'll get to that. Phone lines are open today if you'd like to be a part of the show. The only scheduled guest, of course, as Christian mentioned, Butch Thompson, will be with us at 3:05 to be talking Auburn baseball's win over Winthrop, their game tonight against UAB, also the series coming up this weekend against Missouri, so all of that with Butch Thompson at 3:05. But outside of that, phone lines are open if you would like to be a part of the show. We would love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. That number again, 334-321-1390 is the call-in number, or you can shoot us a text in the on-the-line text box at 334-784-1067. And, yeah, teams are already punching their ticket, Christian, to the NCAA tournament. Of course, a lot of them, actually all of them, are from the mid-major level, one-bid league, things like that. But it's always cool, right? I love this time of year watching some of these teams for the first time ever, right, win their conference tournament, punch their ticket, get to the NCAA tournament, and knowing that coming up on Selection Sunday, they're going to see their name and see their logo and hear their name called.
Yeah, so far, Queens, High Point, UNI, LIU, and Tennessee State have won, and North Dakota State have won their tournaments, and so those are going to be some of the automatic bids. Did you see the stat with High Points that we get to cheer for their three-point shooter who has not made a two-pointer
yes.
all year?
That dude has, wasn't he a legend last year? Didn't he have a run in the tournament last year? Is that not the same
he
kid?
He might have.
Was that the dude who was just going nuclear last year? I thought it was. Maybe I'm thinking of somebody different.
I think you're thinking of
what's his name, Golkey or something like
yes,
that?
Yes, Golkey from, he beat Kentucky.
I think it's the same kid. I think it's
did
the same
dude. Did he
transfer
to High Point?
Maybe. I thought it was High Point last year that did it. Was it not?
No, it was. Oh, gosh.
Maybe he just transferred to High Point then.
It was Oakland last year.
Maybe he transferred from because Oakland
then he
to High Point.
Because then he, during his interviews, he would keep saying, we're not an underdog. That was his statement that Jack Golkey. That's who it was.
I think that's him. I think he transferred to High Point. I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure it is. I'm like 68% confident in that answer.
Okay, well, I'm determined now.
Well, while you're doing that, somebody texted this, and I didn't know this. Did you know the American Conference Tournament is in Birmingham this week?
I did not.
It's at the BJCC. That's a wow, what a 2 weeks for Legacy Arena, the BJCC. They just hosted the Final Four and state championships for high school basketball. They turn around and they're hosting the American Conference Tournament. How about that? I didn't know that. Yeah, taking place from the 11th, that's tomorrow, through the 15th at the BJCC. How about that? South Florida's the one seed. Teams like Wichita State, Tulsa, UAB. How about that? UAB gets to play their conference tournament in their own city. That's nice. Good for them. 20-11 is
Update.
UAB.
It is Chase Johnston for High Point. It is not Jack Golke.
Dang. I did see the stat, though. I guess I assumed it was the same dude.
No, but just another one of those mid-major Caucasians. That's
awesome. I love
just loves chucking it up from behind the three-point line. Chase Johnston for High Point. Where's number 99?
Gross.
Which speaks for itself.
Gross.
He is 0-for-4 on two-point field goals this year.
It's incredible.
0-for-4. But he's 64 of 132 from three.
132 threes. And they've played, what, 30 games, something like that?
It's crazy. I mean, he's almost a 50% three-point shooter.
164 attempts, is that what you said?
132. He's 64 for 132.
132 divided, let's just say 30 games, yeah. That's really not that bad. It's only averaging 4.5 attempts a game.
Let's go look at...
That's insane. Isn't college basketball awesome? College basketball is so cool. And this is champ week, right? That's what this is. This is champ week across college basketball.
Yeah, he's averaging 6 points a game.
So he's averaging two makes. Yeah, he's averaging 2-for-4 from behind the arc every game.
But that's the type of guy
that will catch fire. That will catch fire.
Averages
six
a game and will give you 18 on 6 of 11 from three. Yeah. All of his, I mean, every single, how many free throws does he have this year?
I'm going to say less than 20.
He has four.
Four. I was right.
And he's 4-for-4 from the free throw line.
Yeah, he is. What a guy.
That's incredible.
I'm trying to look and see where, was High Point in bracketology? Like, were they being projected into the field? I'm looking right now. I don't see them projected in the field from Lenardi. I was going to see if they were like
they were a 12 seed. I remember they were playing Vanderbilt, I believe.
Oh my gosh.
Is that still right?
I don't know.
It is.
Yeah, there
the
they
Portland
are.
Regional.
Wow. And then Kansas is in there, who has not played good basketball down the stretch. Book it. High Point to the Sweet 16. We just figured it out.
Cakewalk for them to play Michigan in the Sweet 16.
Oh, that would be brutal. Well, while we're talking college basketball again, phone lines are open if you want to be a part of it. 334-321-1390. We're going to talk about some of those major conference tournaments that are starting this week as well. Have you seen the updates with Duke today?
Yes, with their injuries.
Starting point guard out indefinitely, according to John Shire. Now, here's the thing. Duke's starting point guard, he's the fourth leading scorer on the team, averages like 3 assists per game as well. He's good, but he's not everything for them. And the younger Boozer is the one that has been playing in his place. He played against North Carolina, actually played pretty well. But that's now two significant injuries for Duke heading into the ACC tournament, and of course less than a week away from the start of the NCAA tournament. And that's considered the number one overall seed in the tournament right now. So keep an eye on that for the Dukies.
How wild is it, too, that you're looking at Duke and North Carolina and that rivalry's been so good and all of their historic runs, and both of those teams are dealing with injuries that will heavily affect what they are wanting to do with Caleb Wilson now out for the year.
That really sucks. I hate that.
I forgot to look where they were updated.
For North Carolina in bracketology?
Yeah.
They're a 6 seed playing Miami of Ohio right now.
Oh, man.
Miami of Ohio would win that game.
Miami of Ohio and then Purdue as it sits right now.
Yikes.
Watch out for Hofstra, though, playing Purdue in the first round.
Yeah, you just don't know what Purdue team you're going to get, man. That's the problem. I mean, is there a tournament this week, whether it be P5 or non-P5, that you have your eye on? I mean, I'm not watching most of the ACC tournament. That conference is terrible.
No.
That conference is horrific.
I'll watch some of the Big 12, the Route 66 tournament, because of the glass floor and
Phillips,
how they can...
Phillips 66.
Yeah, and how they can change the floor based off of who the home team is. Have you seen all of that?
I did,
where
yes.
You have it for the SEC championship or some of the big like NBA games where they project like the hype video on the floor.
Yep.
So they're doing that, but then they're also making the court appear as if it is your home court for the home team.
I don't know if I... It's a very cool idea.
Yeah.
I just don't know if I like it because that takes away the idea, some of the idea of it being a neutral site.
Right.
Yes, it's still a different backdrop and arena and baskets and...
But think about how many different colored floors there are.
Yeah, different designs and things like that. I mean, thank God Oregon's not in that conference. Could you imagine trying to recreate that floor?
Okay, they would not be hosting.
No, they would not.
Remember when that was a really good win for Auburn?
Yeah, it was never like... At the time, it was a decent win. But I don't think that was ever going to be a top five win of the year for Auburn.
No, not a... For Auburn, it might be.
Well... I guess, yes. Looking back now, it could have been. They have dealt with horrific injury
they
problems.
They have. And not that you thought that it would be a top 15 type of win, but you were still looking at it to be a very, very solid win. But, yeah, Kwame Evans injuries, Nate Biddle injuries.
Mm-hmm.
Is it Shackelford? Is that their point guard? His injuries? Yeah, I mean...
That team has just gone through the ringer. But I also think that Dana Altman's time has come to an end in Eugene.
Oregon's 1-14 in quad one games.
Yeah, they're horrible. They're terrible. But their starters have not played all year.
Right.
Like that. Yeah. I mean, but again, I think Dana Altman. Here's the problem before we get to break. Dana Altman at Oregon has been there for quite some time, and he has done little with his effort there and his talent there.
Which makes no sense that Oregon basketball. Not a blue blood, but the epitome of a new blood in today's NIL era.
Well, talking to a buddy of mine that covers them out there, he just said they don't invest in it. They put everything into football.
Just with the Nike basketball landscape. Yeah. How big
you've seen
is.
That filter into like softball and stuff.
Yeah.
Baseball here and there, I guess. Softball sees the benefits of that, but yeah, you would think that women's basketball, I guess, have seen that too, but it's... You're not going out of your way. Unfortunately, let's just call it like it is. You're not going out of your way to invest in women's basketball like that. So, yeah, I agree. I think they're a coach away, though. I really do. I think they're a young coach away.
And says, this is what needs to change. This is what we're going to do. And then you see the
Oregon
can
be competitive. Yeah. I think recruiting on the West Coast is tough, too.
Sure, but they were able to do it with all the funky jerseys a decade and a half ago.
Yeah.
Just bring it back.
Are you surprised that it hasn't worked out for Musselman at USC? I'm not.
No, not really.
Talk about... Again, that's the problem, though. Those teams out west don't invest in basketball. They just don't. Even UCLA.
Which is so...
Who's historic.
Which, again, is so wild to think about just based off of the NBA landscape that's out there.
I think that's probably why. Not that UCLA and the NBA are tied together, but...
Right, but you would just think that if you were UCLA or USC, you would try and tie into every single thing you can with the Lakers and the Clippers just to try and get some sort of fan base to bleed into your fan base, but...
Yeah, maybe that's why. Maybe they just don't have... I don't think they have the fan buy-in. I think a lot of that hurts them out west,
right.
Especially in California, but... Anyway,
why cheer for the college kid when I go cheer for LeBron, Luka, and Austin Reeves?
Yeah, did you see Luka got fined today
for another technical,
for an inappropriate gesture is what it was. So, way to go, Luka!
Nice job.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back.
I'll take the fine if you want it. You want to send it over my way.
Yeah, you can pay us. We'll make sure it gets to the right folks at the NBA. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll keep talking college basketball, highlight the big tournaments coming up, continue the conversation from yesterday, too. Are the P5 tournaments actually meaningful this year? We talk about that and continue it from yesterday right after this.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
All right, we're back here on ESPN 106.7, and talk of college basketball. Again, the mid-major tournaments are either done already, in progress, a lot of them into the semifinals. Teams like, or the conferences like the Big Sky and the Southland tournament, things like that. But the P4, P5 tournaments are getting underway today and tomorrow. The SEC tournament begins tomorrow in Nashville. And a reminder that the SEC tournament is no longer two games on Wednesday night, four games Thursday, four games Friday, with the addition of Texas and Oklahoma, right? It's now four games Wednesday, four games Thursday, four games Friday, two on Saturday, championship game on Sunday. So it is a full week of basketball there in Nashville.
And we have it right during the show for Auburn and Mississippi State.
Yeah, about that. Auburn does play tomorrow. Plays tomorrow against Mississippi State. Expected tip-off time is 2 o'clock in the second game of the day. And we are still going to be doing a show. We will still be on the air. We will be watching it right along with you and talking about it. Still going to try and keep some guests on the schedule and things and have some conversations. But we will be on the air tomorrow and all the other days if Auburn goes on a winning streak. We had talked about not doing a show if the game was on at that time, which it will be. But we didn't want to do it on Wednesday and then have that possibility on Thursday and on Friday as well. That just didn't make a whole lot of sense for us. And so we're going to be on the air this week. Nothing is changing there. So we'll have coverage for you. We'll be giving you live reactions to the game. So if that's something you're interested in, you can tune in and have it one radio station on Wings 94.3, the other one here on ESPN, or however you want to fixate it. That's fine with us. We're going to be giving you live reactions to the game as it happens. So that'll be tomorrow from 2 to 4, so looking forward to that. But
and Josh Hubbard again.
Stop. Ain't no way you let him have another career night, right? Ain't no way.
Away from his home floor? Better yeah. Not.
I wouldn't think so, but that doesn't mean a whole lot. But yeah, again, I'm not watching the ACC tournament. I'm just not going to do it. I'll watch the Big 12 tournament. Should be fascinating. Big 12 should be good. I think the Big 10 tournament will be good too. But the question we were having yesterday, and this goes even more, let's get off the bubble teams for a second. Look at Tennessee, for example. That's sure. The team we used yesterday. Look at Tennessee or Purdue or teams like that that are kind of in the middle that feel pretty good about where they are in bracketology, right? Why would Tennessee? Nate Amint is questionable this week. He's still not 100% back for Tennessee. Like, why would you play him? Why would you play him in this tournament? You get nothing from it.
No.
If he's not 100%, don't play him.
That, or then, I mean, teams like Alabama or teams like Vanderbilt that are just, you feel like you asked them 2 weeks ago, hey, this is your seed line. Are you okay with this? Yeah. Okay, cool. You don't have to play another game. Would you still take it? Well, 100% they would. And so even more so, yeah, you feel like it's there's certain questions that arise with every single seed line, right? I mean, we talked about the Florida-Duke conversations yesterday on Florida just became one of the one seeds. What do they now have to gain by risking going and losing rather than if UConn goes and takes three or they win the whole thing of then jumping Florida once again? Or from the other side of the conversation on the bubble teams, on a team like Oklahoma, who was listed by USA Today as the second most popular team to steal a bid, just simply because of what they've done as of late when they were 1-9 in conference play, and now they are 6-2 over their final eight games. Florida State is kind of right in there as well. They started 1-6 in ACC play, and they've now won 9 of its last 11. And so there are teams like this that you hope, or at least they hope, that the tournament committee will watch some of these games this weekend, because we made the conversation comparing Auburn and Oklahoma yesterday of one team is doing everything right at the end of the season, one team's doing just about everything incorrectly towards the end of the season. At what point does that draw major conversations, especially when you're comparing teams that are in the same conference?
If you need a watch guide for tonight, there's a lot of conference championship games tonight, conference tournament championship games. You have a lot of them this evening. You've got the CAA championship, Monmouth and Hofstra. One of those teams will punch their ticket in Washington, D.C. to the NCAA tournament. The other will be out. Hofstra's the favorite there, trying to get that done. You have the Northeast Conference Tournament. Mercyhurst and Long Island are playing tonight in Brooklyn. That's awesome. Long Island, 23-10 on the season. They're the favorite in that tournament and in that game tonight as well. The Barbasol Horizon League, the Wright State Raiders and Detroit Mercy are going at it tonight in Indianapolis in a final. You've got, where's the other one? The West Coast Conference Tournament. We talked about that one earlier. Santa Clara and Gonzaga in the championship game. This one's not as dramatic, because with Santa Clara's win last night, their upset over St. Mary's, Lenardi put them in the tournament. He put them in their bracketology as a play-in game as an 11 seed. So,
well, they were before. They were already there at the last four in. That was what we talked about yesterday. I don't think they were.
Yeah.
I think they are locked in as the last four in, unless they go and beat Gonzaga. Then I think they could move to a bye spot.
Yeah. But so that game doesn't have winning you're in, losing you're out. Drama. The MAC does. Siena and Merrimack, though. The MAAC, baby, in Atlantic City in New Jersey. Siena and Merrimack tonight in a final as well. So lots of championship games tonight. It's the best time of the year, man. Teams going for the first time or haven't been there since 1988. You know, whatever. Yeah. Love it, man.
Merrimack set to be in the tournament right now to play UConn in the first round.
Yikes. Well, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk Auburn baseball as they have UAB coming in tonight.
You're 30 minutes into On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Now back to the studio with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
30 minutes into the Tuesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He is Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. We appreciate you being with us. Phone lines are open if you want to be a part of the conversation, a part of the show. We'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. That number again, 334-321-1390. And you can also shoot us a text if you would like to do that at 334-784-1067. And we flip into baseball mode, where we recapped it a good bit yesterday, but want to go back on it a little bit today. Auburn taking down Winthrop in a three-game set over 2 days. Of course, Saturday becoming a doubleheader, but Auburn outscoring Winthrop 24-1 over three games, which is remarkable. Also, UAB coming in tonight for the final non-conference tune-up before conference play begins. Of course, they'll have more midweek non-conference games and things throughout the year. Georgia Tech next week, which will be a phenomenal game at Plainsman Park. Get to have Georgia Tech and then Texas coming in next weekend, so that'll be fun. But finishing up a nine-game homestand is Auburn tonight against UAB, coming off the win against Winthrop.
Yeah, they are. And how nice is it to be able to basically come home from Arlington and not leave your home ballpark, especially after you struggled a little bit, and we've talked a lot about it. Sometimes it helps. It builds confidence. It relaxes you a little bit to get away from your home stadium or the pressure of, maybe not the pressure of your home fans, but just the common routine that you have to go through. And when you go on the road, you get your mental clock kind of messed up a little bit, and you got to figure some other things out, and batting practice starts earlier, and you got to go and figure out a new warning track. Just little things like that that sometimes re-bring a focus to the season. And not that I think the Auburn Tigers needed it, but my goodness, you feel like they figured some things out in Arlington, and then you're able to go back home and continue on this really nice streak. Auburn 13-2 right now, looking to move to 14-2 as you hit conference play, which is really, really exciting to think about. Updated rankings come out, and Auburn is almost unanimously the number fifth ranked team in the country.
Yeah, and I think that's pretty accurate, especially what's happening around them in the SEC. I asked Coach Butch Thompson about it again. We had that interview coming up for you at 3:05. Talked to him this morning. I asked him about that, and he gave the most baseball of baseball answers, which is just awesome. He was on one today in a good way. He had his baseball isms were just on today, which you would expect nothing less from him, because that's just who he is. Yeah. But I talked to him about it, and he was like, "Yeah, I mean, Basically, it is what it is. He said, Arkansas, they're going to be fine. Tennessee, they're going to be fine. Florida, they're going to be fine. LSU, they're going
to
be fine.
Yeah, go ask any of those coaches. And yeah. Did they want to lose those games? No. Are they happy about losing those games? No. But get the microphones out of the face and go out, coach, is your team fine? Yes. Yeah, we are.
We're fine.
We're just fine.
Yeah, but Auburn is not having to have those conversations because Auburn baseball continues to win. And my goodness, does the Cincinnati loss feel like 3 months ago?
Yeah.
That was 3 weeks ago, right? And the only other loss you've had in there was Nebraska in that Friday night game where you arguably should have won it, and you turned around and proved that in the next two games. But because you have handled business and you've done it in such a shutdown way, people forget about the Cincinnati game.
And that's
good.
Nice?
That's good. That's refreshing. That is, wait, you're telling me a team took care of business? You're telling me that they're just doing what they're supposed to do? How magical is that?
Awesome.
Huh? And so Auburn, coming off the series win against Winthrop, I'll toss this to you. What's more impressive? The 24 runs that you scored over the weekend, the way that you did it, right? Auburn continuing to score in 65, 70% of their innings? Or is it the fact that you gave up one singular run over the weekend and you continue to have a ridiculous strikeout-to-walk ratio?
From the overall standpoint, I guess more just from the talking standpoint, I want to talk a little bit more about the offense, and so I will say the offense. That being said, I think it honestly is more impressive that your combined pitching staff only gives up one run all weekends, and the fact that you did it too in a long doubleheader, that's also very impressive of a long day on Saturday. That's not just one quick game. You go home, you get to reset, you get to go do it again on Sunday afternoon. This is, all right, we got to get to the ballpark Saturday morning, have our BP, have our bullpens, whatever we need to do, and then you have your guys that just go out onto the mound and shove, and especially the guys in Game 3 where you only give up that one run, but I mean, those guys are there the entire day as well, and you're standing in the dugout and then have to go get warm before Game 2 that day, Game 3 in the series. It is just uber impressive when you talk about you have three guys that are solidified as your starters right now with Marciano, Sanders, and Petrovic, and then you have Chatterton in there as well. That's kind of just that key piece, and you mentioned it, talking about it yesterday, if you would love to see Petrovic and Chatterton almost combined on that Game 3 Sunday, if those guys combined can give you seven, eight innings or whatever the case may be, or if you need to go to Chatterton on a Friday night or whatever the case may be, how nice is it? How good of a problem is that for Coach Butch Thompson in this staff? You go and you look at what happened on Friday night, and that was, again, another Jake Marciano win. His second of the year, he's 2-0, went six innings, three hits. Did give up his first walk of the season. My goodness. I mean,
boo.
Pathetic, right? Six strikeouts and, I mean, just absolutely dominated. Ethan Harden came in after him and didn't quite get the save because you only played seven innings in that contest or didn't even get the hold. I guess a save would be within three runs. But I do want to spend a little bit of time just because we've talked so much about this pitching staff and how dominant they are. Again, how nice of a problem it is that you feel like if we had that same type of conversation, it would just be a repeat conversation of the past couple of weeks rather than the offensive side of things of how we've talked so much about it. And you saw against Samford the exact points that we've been making all season long about this team gets one in the first. This team scratches one across in the second. This team scratches one across in the third. And even in one or two of those innings, Samford still feels like they won those innings because they didn't allow a two spot, a three spot, a four spot. Yet you head to the top of the fourth and Auburn's up 3-0. And that's when the reality of, oh, crap, we're already down three, even though it feels like the MO is still on our side a little bit because we didn't allow that second or third run in multiple innings. You then combine that with the pitching staff. It's so nice. But this weekend, you saw a little bit of the power. You saw a little bit of the carry with the warm weather inside Plainsman Park. It started early and often as Chase Frelick hit a homer in the first. And again, joined us on the show on Tuesday. And so Just saying that if we want to continue to talk about success of guys joining our show. But had a three-run bomb in the first. You had Bristol Carter hit a home run in the fourth. You then had a five spot in the fifth with a Guevara two-run bomb. And so you had three home runs in game one of the series, and that's when this offense really gets scary. If you can combine that with the one here, the two here, and then you have that big swing, then you have the three-run homer, all of a sudden a two-run inning turns into a five-run inning, or you score two in the first and three in the third, and now you head to the fourth and you're up five. I feel like that's a little bit more of what you saw this weekend, which makes this team even scarier.
I mean, you've already got four guys with over 1,000 OPS. You've got two or three guys actually hitting over 400 with Frelich, McCrane, Brandon McCrane, and Bristol Carter. Mason has come on strong. He's again over 1,000 as well. Bub continues to play well. I'm impressed with Guevara. I really am. I know that he leads the team in strikeouts, which is not what you want to have, but the idea that he is bringing back the long ball, he's second on the team in homers. He's got three already this year. And for somebody that you don't think of power, but he's got it, and he shows that already.
Yeah.
And he has shown it already is what I'm trying to say. And then you start looking, it's like, okay, let's get Chris Rembert back healthy. Let's get Lucas Steele where he needs to be. How about Ryan Farber trying to get him back to where we think he can be? Cade, when he steps in there, Blue, right? Todd Clay trying to figure it out. It's been a tough start for him, but if he comes around
and
delivers.
Did have an RBI double in game two.
Yeah, and if you get him back to where he needs to be and where you want him to be, same thing with like a Logan Gregorio as well. Like, there's a lot of names that we're not talking about because they've had slower starts to the season, but man, if they start to pick it up in conference play starting this weekend at Missouri, Auburn's going to have a flurry of guys that they can go to at any time in the lineup.
Well, that was something that Coach Thompson talked about before the season that we got to our first interview with him of you feel like this is one of the first times that you've had 12 or 13 guys that you feel like you could put into the lineup or you could put anywhere in the field and not feel like your team is missing a beat. And some of those guys got a little bit more experience than maybe they were even expecting early on with a couple of the injuries, but then also just with the success and how you feel like you're at a point right now where it's hard to take the McCrane brothers out of the lineup right now just yeah. based off of what they continue to do. You look at game two against Winthrop, which was a 6-0 win on Saturday afternoon, the 1 o'clock start. Auburn scores three yet again in the first, two in the sixth, one in the eighth to win it a measly score of 6-0. But going right back to the traditional Auburn way of what you're expecting this season of just the pesty type of team. You had six runs. You had 11 hits. Only two of them were for extra bases. You did not hit a homer. You did not hit a triple. You had two doubles in the contest. So nine of your 11 hits were singles.
Yeah.
But five walks, and you continued to just pour runs on, especially when some of those guys showed their – I don't want to say lack of confidence, but kind of showed their hand a little bit on the mound. You were able to pounce on them again in the first and the sixth, and then tacking another one on in the eighth. I think that game right there perfectly exemplifies what this Auburn offense does. Of okay, it was 6-0. Didn't necessarily feel like it. It wasn't anything overly sexy, but six runs with this pitching staff is going to win you more games than it's not.
The comparison I make is playing a typical Tennessee Rick Barnes basketball team and you're down by 8 and it feels like you're down by 18.
Yeah.
That's the same thing. As if Auburn goes up by 4, it feels like a million.
Much
in baseball
less
right now.
One of those teams then goes and hits back-to-back threes.
Yeah.
That's the kill shot. That's the big fly for this Auburn offense.
Yeah, I totally agree. And you mentioned Brandon McCrane and walks. I mean, him and Bristol are both tied with the team lead in walks. They've both drawn 10 walks, yet Brandon's still hitting almost 500. Think about that. That means when he's putting it in play, he's still hitting 500, and yet he's taking free bases when they give it to him. I mean, that is plate awareness that you cannot teach. That is a guy who is seeing everything so clear right now. Is he going to hit 477 for the whole year? Probably not. I hate to break it to you. But he can still be your leading hitter. He can be your guy that you go to. And you said with his brother Mason, too. I mean, these guys are on fire.
Who had
right
five
now.
RBIs in the Saturday afternoon game three. Went 2 for 5 with a double at 5 RBIs.
It's unbelievable. And Chase Frelick, or Rakelick as we called him last year, has just picked right back up. And so, overall, I still like where this Auburn team is. And what's crazy is I feel that most people feel there is still room to grow, room to get better.
Yeah.
You would expect that less than halfway through March. I mean, we're, a month or so into the season now? I mean, there's a long way to go, and you're going to have some growing pains. Even in SEC play,
sure,
you're still going to have growing pains. It's how baseball works.
But how nice is it to, and you can compare this to other Auburn sports, compare it to basketball right now, of how you hit halfway through SEC play, and you still had to question what the identity of this team was. You still had to question what the MO, what was going to be the thing that turned this team around? Was it going to be the three-point line? Was it going to be continuing to get to the free throw line? Was it going to be trying to dominate in the paint? Was it going to be just a focus on rebounding or whatever the case may be? You don't feel like you're having to wonder right now what the identity of this Auburn baseball team is.
I think it's known, yeah.
I think that is a really, really good sign to have as you hit your final non-conference game before SEC play gets started.
That game is UAB tonight inside of Plainsman Park. We will talk about that.
You going?
I am going to be there. I was going to ask you if you're going to go. You have plans tonight, right? It's going to Auburn baseball. That's tonight inside of Plainsman Park. 6 o'clock first pitch.
Really?
Do you think anybody else wants to go to that game? Do you think anybody else would be willing to go?
I'd say probably so.
What if we gave them tickets? Do you think people would go?
Maybe so, yeah. I mean, it might be worth, I think it'd be worth shouting out, worth mentioning to see if anybody's interested.
How about 4 tickets to tonight's baseball game against UAB? First one to call, you got them. 334-321-1390. Again, 334-321-1390. Looking for Tuesday night plans, you can go to Plainsman Park on us. We got 4 tickets to Auburn baseball. Give us a call right now, 334-321-1390. We'll take a break, come back, and wrap up hour number one right after this.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin, online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
All right, wrapping up hour number one here on ESPN 106.7. And had a lot of people interested in going to Auburn baseball this evening. 10 or 12 phone calls in a matter of 2.5 minutes? I mean,
yeah,
that was,
and apologies for being the bearer of bad news to 90% of them.
Yeah, well, got to be quicker than that, right? Shout out to Mike, our boy Mike. Yeah, our boy Mike is heading to Plainsman Park tonight with 4 tickets to Auburn and UAB baseball. So thank you to everybody listening today, but also calling in. And we'll have more tickets throughout the season. So keep an eye, be tuned in, and just go ahead and put that number in your phone, 334-321-1390. Just have that as a contact in your phone. That's the best way to do it. That's how I recommend
it. Yeah, just speed dial. And if not, if you just call, I'll just give you Jacob's personal number, and then you can just call that one.
Is speed dial even a thing anymore? Can you speed dial somebody on a smartphone?
I don't know. I know that there is the way, if you, like, the last phone call that you make, rather than typing it in again, if you just press the call button, it pops back up. I don't know if that's considered speed dial.
It may be today's version of speed dial. I don't think speed
dial is
a thing.
Like, if I call you and you don't answer, and then I go right back to my call app, which I don't even really use anyway. I just click on your message contact and then go from there.
Yeah.
But if I just click the green button to call without typing any numbers in, the last phone call that I make is that one. So yours will pop up.
Well, yeah, you have your call log with all the calls that you've made.
Great radio. I'm about to show you.
show me what you're talking about, because I don't know.
So the phone app, you have your keypad.
Yeah.
The last call that I make, if you just click the call.
Whoa! I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh. You have to use a certain brand of phone that is made by a company which is a fruit. No free pub on this station. But
I didn't know that.
If you are 95% of Americans, you have the same phone we do.
He also has ties to Auburn.
So if
you are listening.
I didn't know that. Yeah, so if you go to the keypad and just hit the phone, the green phone call button. I didn't know that.
Yeah, the last phone call that you make. Today's version of speed dialing. Baby.
I think that is considered speed dial.
You just have to call them first.
Yeah, I don't know. It's close enough. Anyway, thank you to everybody for calling in. We did, in fact, give away 4 tickets to Mike. So, Mike, if you're still listening, I know we told you over the phone, but I will be sending those your way momentarily. But, yes, thank you for people for calling in. And, yeah, excited for tonight. Auburn, UAB, one of those in-state games, man, in-state midweeks. And UAB, they're not messing around. And Coach Thompson reminded me this morning, again, that interview with Butch Thompson coming up at 3:05. So be sure you stay tuned for that very good interview with him. He reminded me that UAB got Auburn both times last year.
Both times.
Yep.
Yes. UAB 10-6 right now, and they have a win to get the season started. They beat Florida in Gainesville 9-7 in 10 innings. They ended up losing the series, but still got game one. They have a win over North Alabama. They also have that win over Cincinnati that I know that UAB fans trolled Auburn fans with.
Yes, they did.
For quite a little bit of time. They won. Is this accurate? It says they played 4 games against Cincinnati. If that's the case, then they won 2 of the 4. If that's showing up accurately before beating Alabama State and winning the series against Jacksonville, they also have a sweep over Middle Tennessee. And so it's a team that's playing some really good baseball right now. And you know that they would love nothing more than to go in to one of the best places that you'll play in Plainsman Park and get one of those big-time wins.
Somebody just texted us in the on-the-line text box, which you can send us a text message there as well, 334-784-1067, asking about Auburn softball, saying Auburn softball team finally has some hitters on it this year, feeling like that they could compete. Do you think that the pitching staff is good enough for SEC play? They're young. That whole roster is young for Auburn softball. But coming off the series win against Kentucky, that's a good way to start. This weekend, don't know how it's going to go. You do have to go to Norman this weekend, and not many teams have been able to win there. They haven't lost a game there in like 38 tries or something stupid. I don't even know the stat. But
Loves Field.
Do I think the pitching staff is good enough to compete in the SEC? Yes, I do for Auburn softball. How much, though? I just don't know, man.
I think if they had one more arm that they could rely on this year, I think it would bring a very different conversation. I still think they will do a lot better than what is expected.
Good things are happening for Auburn.
Very much so.
I think so, too. So, okay, hour number one is in the books. Stick around. We start hour number two with Auburn baseball's head coach, Butch Thompson.
The following is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what Sports Talk Radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. It is the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us as we start the second hour of today's show. If you missed any of the first hour, talked a lot of college basketball, more generically about all the conference tournaments going on, teams who have already punch their ticket to the NCAA tournament. Several teams will do so tonight with more conference championship games, and the P4 teams and tournaments have begun across the nation. So a lot of that in hour number one. Also talk to Auburn baseball, kind of putting a bow on the Winthrop series, previewing UAB a little bit tonight. Also gave away some baseball tickets in hour number one. That's why you got to be tuned in all the time here on ESPN 106.7. So again, shout out to Mike, who hopefully got his tickets, sent them to him. So hopefully he got those, and we appreciate him and everyone listening and calling in hour number one. So if you missed any of the first hour, you can always go back and listen to the show as a podcast, wherever you get your podcast, or on our station website at ESPNAU.com. Here in hour number two, we're going to talk about Auburn basketball and their path in the SEC tournament. If the tournament matters, how far does Auburn have to go? We'll talk about that in this hour, plus just some generic sports updates from the World Baseball Classic, NFL free agency, big golf tournament this weekend. Lots to get to here in the second hour, but we start the second hour with a wonderful interview that I was able to have this morning. For the second time this year, we have Auburn baseball's head coach Butch Thompson to preview the game tonight against UAB, talk about his team as a whole, and get started for SEC play this weekend against Missouri. So this is Auburn baseball head coach Butch Thompson. Jacob Goins with you on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. We continue talking Auburn baseball as we did in hour number one. We begin here in hour number two with several interviews that we've had every single week with coaches and players and representatives of Auburn baseball. And for the second time this year, we are joined by the head coach of Auburn baseball, Coach Butch Thompson. Coach, it's great to talk to you today. I know it's been a whirlwind and a lot of home games for you guys recently. We appreciate you taking the time, as always.
Absolutely, Jacob. War Eagle.
War Eagle to you as well. And I want to kind of talk about your team as a whole. We'll talk about the games that have been going on, the series win over Winthrop, of course, a game coming up tonight against UAB, and then the SEC opener this weekend in Columbia, Missouri. But, I mean, the recognition that your guys are getting right now from the Southeastern Conference, 3 weeks in a row that somebody, a player on your team, has been named something from the Southeastern Conference. Couple of freshmen of the week. Jackson Sanders just earned pitcher of the week as well from the Southeastern Conference. What does that mean to you as a head coach to see your guys getting the love from the conference that they deserve?
Yeah, just it's undeniable. That was so amazing. The two freshmen were so exciting. You know, Bingaman hitting the two big home runs and playing so good our first time on the road against, you know, two top 25 teams and, you know, hitting the upper deck. It was so deserving for him. And, you know, that's a little thread of confidence for a young, young player. So you love to see that being recognized. And then Mason McCrane, he got it last week. And then, you know, he came back this week. And I know game three versus Winthrop had 5 RBI and continues to just play well. And then, you know, Jackson Sanders, probably 4 years ago, he was the number one prospect in his class in America. And then, you know, that would have been hard to – somebody would have had to really throw good to have gotten that from him this week with 7 innings, 74% strikes, shoving the ball in a strike zone the way he has. I think he's about 34-for-4 strikeout-to-walk ratio right now. But it was his best outing in an Auburn uniform, so that's good that that's being recognized. And my deal with Jackson is he's a left-handed sinker ball guy, which probably has more movement, you know, from the time the ball leaves his hand till it gets to the mitt. Mm-hmm. And for him to be able to command that much movement made that so impressive. But I just think those are memories for him. And I think for Jackson, at least for this season, I think that started against Florida State a couple weeks ago when he gives up 4 runs in the first inning and then puts up 4 zeros after that, settles himself. You know, it's one thing for a pitcher to get beat up and then they come back next week and have a whole week to figure it out and make some adjustments and get back in the right headspace. It's another thing for what Jackson did against Florida State and gives up those 4 runs and then they don't touch him for 4 innings. And he throws probably better those 4 innings than maybe even he did this past Saturday.
Yeah.
He's recognized here for this week But that Florida State outing, he's got for the rest of his career. So I think that's a huge point to make. Like, there were some things I loved about the Florida State outing better, from the adversity and a game of failure and toughness. But making an adjustment within the outing, that's how you go from good to great. Because a lot of guys, they got to go and retool and reset for an entire week. That outing Jackson had versus Florida State led to him being the SEC Pitcher of the Week this week.
Yeah, well, he looked like a completely different pitcher that jogged out there after those four runs given up against Florida State. And then, of course, the performance against Winthrop. And look, the Marciano start on Friday was incredible. It's like, no way somebody can top that. And then Sanders, of course, did. Doubleheader on Saturday. Auburn is able to get the series win, the series sweep over Winthrop. Tigers are right now 13-2 overall, have now won six games in a row. We got head coach Butch Thompson joining us here on ESPN 106.7. And you go back a couple of weeks to the loss against Cincinnati at home. And Coach, I want to pick your brain just a little bit on what's happening in the SEC as a whole, because you just beat a really good Winthrop team. You sweep a really good Winthrop team. And in a vacuum, right, the loss against Cincinnati might have people turning heads a little bit. But then you look around the SEC, and not only are other teams losing a game here and there, you have teams falling in series to some mid-majors. I mean, have you seen a non-conference slate like this in your recent memory across the Southeastern Conference?
Yeah, every year. You know, I just think it's a very shallow approach, right? What was the SEC's record last week? I think it was 44-7.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing what we make out of those seven, right?
Yeah.
Did you know, as we walk into Missouri, for the rest of the month of March, Auburn baseball is going to face opponents that are 68-12.
Mm.
And so we're going to lose another baseball game. And are we going to go as crazy as we are with other? LSU is going to be fine. Trust me.
Yep.
Arkansas is going to be fine. Trust me. We recruited those players. We've seen those players. We are going to go through something this year that's going to make us a stronger team. I wish maybe if it would make us better for SEC play, I wish we maybe have gone through a couple more things to make us tougher, more saltier, people to yell at us and get down on us, because that's how you make stronger clubs, right?
Yeah.
I look at this and I think nothing. I think absolutely nothing except those clubs are going to be good. Youngstown State almost clipped us twice, one-run games. I think anybody can have anybody in Division I baseball right now. I do think it starts on that mound. And if you're not scoring runs, like that Cincinnati game was a 3-0 game, right?
Yep.
To the seventh. But our guys, if we can't scratch a run, you don't get Hetzler and Brewer, right? So, and then that thing got away from us and made us 8-0. But we're going to fight to the finish, because with two outs, you know, I pinched hit. Who did we pinch hit? The center fielder, you know, comes in there, runs as hard as he can. Bristol Carter, he's safe. We challenge. I can hear people yelling at me, "What are you, crazy? Go home. What are you challenging for?" I challenge because he just run a 4-1-3 to first base, and we were down 8-0. So we've let him off every game since then. Sometimes the adversity creates a better path. And so I know I'm getting on a tangent and you get me on my coach speak.
I love it. I love
it. I think baseball is happening. And I know we're in a part of the country where it's a football mentality, and baseball is just a completely different sport. We're going to have some of those challenges. Like I said, for the rest of this month, the record of our opponents are 68-12, a Missouri 12 game. Winthrop just coming here on an 8-game winning streak, you know, a good baseball team that has done a good job. Georgia Tech's one of the best in America. They're ranked ahead of us. Texas is undefeated. South Al's having a good year. Alabama's 14-3. So I love this. I just got to keep our guys present, right? Mm-hmm. We got to see how can we create offense to score as many runs as we can tonight against UAB, because if you play a week, a four-game stretch, and you don't score as many runs as you want to, you're in jeopardy. you got a great chance to lose. And I think LSU has a really good offense that's not scoring runs, you know, in this vacuum or this window. But I think they will.
Well, everything you just said, Coach, is what we talk about here on ESPN all the time. That's baseball. That's the term we use all the time. That's baseball. And so much of it, you can look at it that way in a one game, even one series scenario, because there's so many games. It's such a long season, and things sometimes just don't bounce your way, but that's what makes the sport so incredible. Auburn has UAB coming in tonight. We're talking with head coach Butch Thompson here on ESPN 106.7. UAB tonight, one of those in-state midweek games. We talk about how much it means to those guys and to your guys as well to play a team like UAB going in to SEC play. Coach, talk to me about how good your pitching staff has been as a whole, but then somebody like Alvarez, who's going to get the start tonight as far as we're concerned and has been the midweek guy and has delivered in the midweek for several games now. What has he been along with the other starters on this staff where, I mean, you're talking about 178 strikeouts as a team, only 30 walks from your pitching staff through 15 games. I mean, those are incredible numbers for the pitching.
Yeah, I hope they can stay the same and try to stay consistent with that. You know, Alvarez goes tonight, so he's our number one pitcher, right? Whoever's got the ball in their hands is our number one pitcher. But, you know, dating back, his last seven starts, dating back to last year, I think Alvarez has got a one ERA. He's thrown the ball really well. He was fourth on that list of the strike throwing percentage deal, how he started the season. The starting pitchers we talked about have done a good enough job that we really are. This is about the deepest we've gone without making any starting, you know, pitcher changes, and feels like in the last few years. So this is a huge game tonight. UAB has built a good early resume for themselves, and, you know, it's happened because of the long ball. They had one player hit six home runs in a three-game series. They have twice as many home runs as we do right now, so Alvarez is huge to getting us off to a good start tonight. And then, you know, our offense has got to score. You know, UAB is a 6 ERA as a staff, you know, so our strength hopefully can shine, but we got to figure out how many runs can we score as an offense. That don't mean somebody hitting a home run. That don't mean somebody getting five hits. It's like we've got to have connected at-bats, get multiple runners on to get that leadoff man on like we're trying to sell. But we got to get guys playing offense in a pack and be present and willing to do that tonight because, again, we're playing another good team that got us both times last year.
Yeah.
I know historically it's heavily favored toward Auburn, but, hey, our in-state guys like Samford last week, UAB tonight, Jacksonville State, South Alabama, all these in-state teams are having great seasons. To begin with, and love playing them, and it's a great challenge, and we get their best, and that's, you know what, that's the way it's supposed to be.
Jacob Goins with you here on ESPN 106.7, talking with head coach Butch Thompson of Auburn baseball ahead of their matchup tonight against UAB, then heading on the road for the first time in a while, heading to Como to open up SEC play. And one of our favorite things, Coach, that we've been talking about over the past several weeks with your team is on the offensive side. And the term we've used, and this comes with it's fully complimentative, is it's pesky, it's annoying, it's frustrating because it's a run in the first, it's a run in the third, a run in the fourth, two in the fifth, one in the sixth, two in the seventh. Like, it just never stops, and there's always pressure 1 through 9 with your batting order. Is that something that you could kind of see coming into the season, or is that just how it's played out because so many guys are talented enough and able to get on base with the bat in their hands?
I do think they're talented players. I do think it's a great question. I do know that early in the year we were, you know, wanting more. It was just a bunch of singles.
Yeah.
And we just were late in between pitches and tardy to start this season. Now, you know, the next 15 games will probably present a different type feel. Maybe even if you don't throw as many strikes the next 15 games, there's consequences. We could hit more. We're starting to do that a little bit. Bristol Carter has given us an identity the last 10 games or 8 games, whatever it's been with him in that leadoff spot. That's given us some of that peskiness, some of that fight, some of that Blake Rambush like we had in the past, some of that identity. He's done that at the top of our lineup. But the lineup is skilled top to bottom. Frelick has power. Rembert has power. Guevara starting to show a little bit of power here. Mason McCrane is going to have – he has exceptional power. Mm-hmm. Bub Terrell has power. But we're probably at the bottom of the SEC. So hopefully this is a slow wave and a slow build for us to have more power as we move forward. Has the wind been blowing in on us? Slow starts. As our timing's gotten better, I hope and expect that to get better. But in the meantime, you're still finding ways to win ball games, which I like. The defense was great. It was our best defense we had played over this winter series. I was excited about how we played defense this past weekend. Can we stay consistent and stay healthy on the mound to keep trying to understand this is what got us off to a good start? Can we continue to build off of that? But I think there is another step or two for our offense from where we are. Just looking statistically, we're evaluating the strike zone a little bit better. We have a catalyst at the top. I really feel like Chris Rembert is about to be back full speed.
Okay,
and really getting comfortable in his at-bats. And then all those guys I mentioned that have power, if that ever comes, because most home runs are thrown. And when you start swinging for home runs, that's when you really start swinging and missing and compounding some problems. But if they'll just keep trying to have at-bats and they'll try to do it together, I think there's more coming for our offense. And a lot of these other areas, I'm still just asking for consistency.
Auburn outscores Winthrop 24-1 in a three-game series this past weekend. UAB comes to town tonight at Plainsman Park. That's a 6 o'clock first pitch there this evening. And then the Tigers head on the road for the first time in a while, taking on Missouri to open up SEC play. Missouri, then Georgia Tech in the midweek, and then such a big series in SEC play next Friday, Saturday, Sunday as Texas comes to town. We've got head coach Butch Thompson of Auburn Baseball with us here on ESPN 106.7. Coach, always appreciate the time and such great insight from you about your squad and all facets of the game. Again, we enjoy having you on, and we look forward to doing it again in a couple of weeks. And so good luck tonight against UAB. Good luck this weekend out in Como, and we look forward to the next time we have you on.
Always great to visit. Hope everybody's having a great spring break. War Eagle.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
All right, we're back here on ESPN 106.7, and yeah, hopefully you enjoyed my conversation. That was earlier this morning with Auburn baseball head coach Butch Thompson. I mean, Christian, I was telling you earlier in previewing that conversation, he is such a baseball guy. I love it. His baseball isms, the one that stood out, well, several of them stood out to me, but the one that I loved, he said, home runs are thrown. And I was like, ooh. That's so good. Yeah. That's so good. Talking about his offense, and he said, you start swinging for home runs. That's when you get a lot of swings and misses. You're hitting balls you don't want to hit, and you're chasing and doing things like that. He said, home runs are thrown. And I was like, man, that's such a good one. And he had like 8 of them today. He was locked in today. Maybe it's because it's game day. I don't know. But again, thanks to head coach Butch Thompson of Auburn Baseball for joining us here on the show, talking the games and the season up to this point, previewing UAB, and then getting ready for SEC play coming up this weekend for Auburn Baseball. He said he's looking for more out of his offense. He talked about the offense pretty heavy there, talking how, yes, they like what they're doing, but he wants more. He thinks they have more. He wants more, and he knows they're going to need more of an SEC play comes.
Yeah, but, I mean, he saw what this team looked like early on, and I feel like that was when the bats felt a little slow. That's what he was saying. The bats were very tardy through the strike zone, and that was what you saw really early on. And I feel like that was the Arlington trip that kind of woke up the bats, and again, now with the temperatures continuing to continuing to increase, you feel like the ball goes a little further and maybe the bats are heating up a little bit, definitely from what you've seen so far over the past couple of weekends, hopefully tonight. And we know that there was a snowstorm in Missouri
last week,
and so hopefully it gets warm so the bats can stay warm over there.
Yeah, I haven't looked at the weather this weekend in Como. I assume that it's not snowing over there, but I don't really know. Here we go. Let's see. As of today, Friday, 58, partly sunny, partly cloudy. Saturday, 65. Sunday's got rain in the forecast. Oh my gosh! You better be glad you're getting out of Como on Sunday afternoon, because, buddy, let me tell you, cold front coming through Como. 55 degrees on Sunday, which isn't like overly baseball warm anyway. The low that night, 17.
Holy cow.
It's going from 55 to 17 in Columbia, Missouri on Sunday.
It's awesome.
Holy smokes, that's crazy. Glad I don't live there. So, yes, thank you again to head coach Butch Thompson for joining us. Second time we've talked to him this season, and really, really do appreciate his time. We got a couple of minutes before we take our bottom of the hour break. We'll come back and talk some Auburn basketball as the SEC tournament begins tomorrow. Auburn will be playing in the SEC tournament tomorrow as well. But just other updates around sports and stuff. You've got the World Baseball Classic. United States wins last night over Mexico.
Got a little scary.
I was about to say, they made it a little interesting there down the stretch. You had to stay tuned for all nine innings to get the result of that one.
Yeah, United States scored all five runs in the third. Your Red Sox looked nice.
Yeah, no matter what country they play for, Red Sox representing, baby.
Yeah, Roman Anthony, a three-run bomb. You had
Duran
hit
twice.
Two of them.
That second one he hit was a, I don't know, never mind, I can't say the term I would normally say for that type of a home run. It's something we describe also with a nice drive off the tee box.
Sure.
Type of, well, that may be a little insensitive right
now,
too.
Yeah, never mind. That was where I thought you were going first.
It was a hard hit ball.
Very much so.
And he looked very good.
He also gunned down Roman Anthony with the assist from the outfield.
What a throw that was.
He had a couple really nice defensive plays. Bobby Witt Jr. with a diving play at short. You had Aaron Judge gun a guy down at third.
Yeah. A lot of great baseball.
A lot of defensive plays. A lot of just really, really good baseball. Back in action again later on tonight as well.
Yeah. So World Baseball Classic going on right now. NFL free agency went crazy yesterday.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, today has not been as
just
fun.
Just been pick and choose what Packer you want.
Gosh, to add to your team. God, man. Romeo Doubs, my man. I love that dude. He's such a good receiver. And Green Bay did him wrong, man. They did him wrong. He just got caught in the rotation,
caught,
I guess.
Caught a good problem to have because the Packers don't have a true wide receiver one, but they have so many guys that they can go to.
Yeah.
But a bad problem for him just from the standpoint of he needs more than three, four targets a game.
Well, he's going to get it. He just became wide receiver one in New England. So 25 years old, four-year deal, $70 million. He's catching balls from Drake May. Super Bowl runner-ups, he's going to be just fine. Tua going to the Falcons.
Yay.
Gross. Yeah, well, that's all going on in the world of sports, but so is college basketball. We talk Auburn in the SEC tournament next.
We're halfway through hour number two. You've got 30 more minutes of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. We appreciate you being with us as we flip to the hardwood, in particular, Auburn, in the SEC tournament.
The ACC tournament with Syracuse and SMU.
I mean, look at the light show they got going on there.
To be fair, this actually is a big game. We talked about it yesterday. SMU needs a win.
Yeah, they do. Is it in Charlotte? Is that where they are for the ACC tournament? I feel like that's where it's at.
I couldn't tell you.
I think so. I think that's where
it's at. Say it confidently.
It's in Charlotte.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Can't tell me otherwise. SMU is a team that needs a win. The Spectrum Center. Where is that? I bet that is Charlotte. I bet it is. Oh, yeah.
I told you. See, say it confidently.
Yeah, that's right. One for one.
Our producers that were listening heard it. and changed it for you.
Yeah, they changed the graphic. They're actually playing in Hawaii, but they changed the graphic. No, yeah, SMU does need a win to try and secure their spot in the NCAA tournament. So that game tipping off right now. Big 12 tournament going on right now. Big 10 tournament starts tonight. SEC tournament, however, starts tomorrow, including Auburn, who will play around 2 o'clock tomorrow against Mississippi State. That game will be broadcasted over on Wings 94.3. We will still be on the air tomorrow here on ESPN. We will be talking about it, reacting to it, giving you live emotions and raw reactions, something that we don't really typically do during a live show in the afternoons. But we will be on the air. We'll have it on here in the studio, and we'll be talking about it as it happens. And so we've had a lot of conversations in the last 2 days of, does the SEC tournament matter? Does it matter more this year than it has because of a team like Auburn being on the bubble and some of these other conference tournaments and teams as well? I want to put that conversation to bed for now, and I want us to talk about what tomorrow and or Thursday and or Friday and beyond could mean for Auburn. Because if you're Stephen Pearl and the Tigers, right, you're not going into this thing thinking, well, this may or may not matter. I guess we'll just see how it goes. No, you hope that they're stepping into Nashville and they're saying, like they have said, we got to go on a run. Yeah. We got to win some games. And that starts with tomorrow against Mississippi State. So we're going to talk about Mississippi State in just a moment. But in your mind, Christian, what does Auburn, if you were on the committee, if you were on the NCAA basketball tournament selection committee, and you were looking at Auburn in a vacuum, nobody else, no other bubble team, nobody else, you're looking at Auburn, and the question is, how do they get in? What does Auburn have to do to get into the tournament in your eyes? What does that look like this week?
The weekend.
You got to win three games.
Make it to the weekend, Friday. I'll count Friday as...
What kind of job you work? Friday on the weekend?
Yeah.
Must be nice. I have an engineering buddy, not our engineering buddy, but another engineering buddy that works 4 days a week, and he's off on Fridays.
No, I was actually, I looked at the incorrect spots and was thinking that, initially thinking, because I remember looking at Auburn was initially the 11 seed, which was the picture that I took. Forgot they were the 12 seed, where I was thinking that game would be 9:30 on Friday night. Instead, it's the 3:30 game. So gotcha. That changes things just a little bit. Yeah, 3 o'clock, 3 o'clock, and 3:30. I think if you make it to Friday, you give yourself an argument. That's obviously, again, in a vacuum. If you can get to Vanderbilt, which again would be taking down Mississippi State, and then taking down Tennessee, which is not going to be the easy task whatsoever. But I think that would also require a little bit of help from the bubble teams, which you got this past Saturday, just with the teams that were in front of the bubble winning, the teams that were on the wrong side of the bubble, all just about every single one of them losing. I feel like if you can get two wins, I think it at least makes it to where, as bad as the or as weak as the bubble is as a whole right now, I think that at least puts you into a legitimate argument of, okay, this team still can go and beat a Tennessee type of team who sits right now as anywhere from a 4 to a 6 seed based off the brackets.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm on the committee,
I don't think you get rewarded for beating Mississippi State.
I don't think you should.
No.
Even though you lost to them in the regular season. Think about this. The three teams in your way right now, you lost to all of them. Mississippi State, Tennessee, and Vanderbilt. You lost to all three of those teams this year when you played them in regular season play. That's not a confidence builder by any means.
No, not at all. And then again, you're looking at the team that finished 11th in Oklahoma. That's been the comparison that I've made over the past couple of days. When you're looking at these two teams with very similar identities, both teams are 7-11 in SEC play, but Auburn went the wrong way down the stretch. Oklahoma's going the right way down the stretch. And so if Oklahoma makes it into the weekend with a win over South Carolina and then Texas A&M, they'd get to the point where they were winners in 8 of their last 10. I think that makes it even scarier for an Auburn team right now, as Oklahoma just bumped into the next 4 out from Joe Lunardi. But that could be one of those teams. And again, not that the SEC tournament has proven to mean anything over the past couple of years, which I know that's the conversation that we are diving into, but just when you're looking at those two teams and you're looking, you take the name, you take the logo out of the conversation, which we know that they don't do, but if I handed you two pieces of paper, and although one team was slightly lower in the net or the quad one ranking systems or whatever it is, if I told you, okay, both of these teams won two games in the SEC tournament, but before that, this one team lost 8 of its last 10, the other team won 6 of its last 8. Which team do you have more confidence of making a little bit more noise?
Me personally, you would pick the team that's won more down the stretch, which is Oklahoma. But historically, we know that, that's not what they do, right? They live and die by the numbers and the rankings, and that's the only reason. Yeah, that's the only reason Auburn still has a chance right now. But again, in this particular conversation, talking about the SEC tournament and what Auburn should do, what we want Auburn to do, my goodness, how devastating would it be for Auburn to walk into Nashville tomorrow and lose to Mississippi State? Because here we are again with another game.
Yeah, gifted another life.
With your season on the line, with your season up for grabs. And in a situation like this, it is difficult because the players know, the coaches know, you said it earlier, and they know it too. You get nothing for winning this game. You didn't get anything if you... We said this about, funny enough, we said this about the Mississippi State game the first time when you went to Starkville. You weren't going to get any credit for winning that game, but you would get railed for losing that game, and you did. We said the same thing about the road game at Oklahoma. We said the same thing about the Ole Miss game. We said the same thing about the LSU game. Right? In those four scenarios, right, winning that game, you didn't get credit for it, but you could have avoided the backlash of a loss. In those four games, you remember what your record was? You're 1-3. In the same scenario that you're going to be in tomorrow for Auburn basketball, you were 1-3 in this scenario down the stretch. That doesn't give me confidence tomorrow. I understand that it took a career night for Josh Hubbard for you to lose that game by 6 in their building. I get that. But you're the ones that allowed it. You're the ones that let him do it.
I was going to say, it didn't come as a surprise of who was going to be the one that hit the takeover button.
No, we literally said on that day, on the show that day, we don't trust Auburn's guards to stop Josh Hubbard. I didn't expect him to drop what he did. But it's not hard to find the mismatch here. No. And it's the same situation tomorrow. So I don't have confidence in Auburn. I don't.
And looking at it right now, Mississippi State is the 111th team in the net. It's a quad three game for Auburn.
A team that has literally nothing to play for.
No. But again, you want to talk about not being rewarded. It is a neutral site game and still a quad three game.
Yeah. So it's another situation where, again, if you lose, are you out?
If you lose, don't even look at Selection Sunday. Yeah, no. If you lose to Mississippi State and you've now lost 9 of your last 11 to the teams that you've lost to, yeah, there's no need in watching the selection show on Sunday.
If you win, you move on and you take on Tennessee on Thursday afternoon at the same time at 2 o'clock, where Nate Amendt may or may not be playing. We don't know yet. That game is interesting to me too, but I don't. Stupid enough. I think if you go and beat Tennessee, I think the committee would put you in. I do. I think they would do it.
Yeah. So you're with me. Make it to Friday.
I guess so. Yeah. And how crazy is this? If Auburn wins three games or plays three games in a row in Nashville, Mississippi State, Tennessee, and Vanderbilt, you lost to all three of those teams in the regular season. If you play on Saturday, you most likely play Florida, the one seed. That's a team you beat. You beat that team in the regular season. Saturday. You'd play Florida on Saturday in the semifinals. Right. Yeah. And then you're going to play in the championship game a combination of Alabama, Arkansas. It'll be one of those two teams, Alabama or Arkansas.
Tell me Golden wouldn't be chomping at the bit to play Auburn on Saturday.
Chomping? Is that what you said?
Yes.
Yeah.
That
game would be ugly. But if you get to Saturday, you win three in a row against State, Tennessee, and Vandy. Would the committee then put you in? Again, we've had these conversations, and the answer is, we don't know. But Auburn's got to do something. I'm with you. I think it's a consensus that you cannot lose. If you want your season to even have a prayer, if you even want to turn on the TV on Selection Sunday to have hope, you cannot lose this game tomorrow.
Looking at some of the other teams that Auburn is just in front of in terms of Joe Lunardi's bracketology, which, again, speaking it out into existence, this is not the end-all be-all. This is not what the tournament committee and the selection committee has to use. That is not what it is whatsoever. This is just what we choose to look at because this is the one that gets the most publicity. But right now, you have Indiana, Virginia Tech, Stanford, and New Mexico.
This is as of last night.
This is as of last night. Stanford, was that the game we just watched? It was.
Yeah, and they lost.
And Pitt just beat Stanford. So Stanford is done. Stanford is no longer in this conversation. You then look at the Big Ten tournament, where Indiana is awaiting Penn State or Northwestern. So they are awaiting Northwestern.
Yes.
They are awaiting, apologies, they are awaiting Mr. Martinelli.
Nick Martinelli, that's who they're waiting
that
for.
That is who they are
the
waiting
for. The Big Ten's leading scorer.
Mr. 25-10 on just about any given night. That is who they are waiting for.
Who had 28 points against them the first time, for what it's worth.
Indiana needs that game, and then they would play Purdue. So they could be in a very similar spot.
Yeah.
Or if Auburn wins one but then doesn't lose a second, if Indiana goes and beats Purdue, you would think that they could be rewarded and then jump Auburn because that would be a very nice win because somehow Purdue is the 7th seed based off of what they could not do to end the regular season.
In this conversation, sorry to cut you off, in this conversation, we're acting as if the conference tournaments actually matter and the tournament committee is watching them and rewarding teams for success.
Correct.
That is the big asterisk here of this entire conversation for Auburn and all the bubble teams right now.
Yes. The other team, again, with Indiana playing most likely Northwestern, and then if they win, Purdue. Comparing Mississippi State and Tennessee with what Auburn has, Stanford just lost in the first round. Stanford was the 3rd team out. They are no longer in this conversation. Virginia Tech is the other team that's right behind Indiana. Virginia Tech is the 12th seed in the ACC tournament. They play Wake Forest tonight. If they win, they would get Clemson. I still think Mississippi State and Tennessee, if all three of these win their two games, I think the resume of Mississippi State and Tennessee is better than the other ones.
But all of those teams in their second game would be playing playing a tournament team.
Correct.
And one of the top or echelon teams from their respective conferences.
To where, again, this could be a conversation of
who gets the furthest.
You're simply watching on Friday which of these three teams can win. If all three teams win tomorrow, or I guess it wouldn't be direct because they're playing right now, but it would be which team makes it to the quarterfinals.
Yeah, which team makes the deepest run.
Yeah.
Which team goes the furthest in their conference tournament.
And that could be the last team into the tournament. That being said, we're watching an SMU team right now that's two spots ahead of Auburn. So if Syracuse finds a way to beat SMU, for all you know, again, we're looking at a bubble that is already relatively weak as a whole in college basketball. But my goodness, you're looking at teams like Texas, UCF. Again, I think Santa Clara is comfortably in. I think VCU is comfortably in. But SMU, Auburn, Indiana, Virginia Tech, and New Mexico as any one of these teams. And again, I'll throw Oklahoma for the sake of this conversation, who is listed as the 7th team out right now, but they are just behind California, who's not going to do anything. Cincinnati could. New Mexico, Stanford, Virginia Tech, and Indiana. You're looking at possibly 8 teams that you need to fill 5 or 6 spots.
But for the sake of this conversation, before we get to break, and we'll wrap up the show talking Auburn, Mississippi State tomorrow. For the sake of this conversation, with the asterisks of the tournament committee is actually watching the conference tournaments and taking the results into effect, we're talking about teams winning. The only team you talked about there was SMU losing. If they're going to reward Auburn or Indiana or Virginia Tech for winning their games, should SMU be punished for losing this game today against Syracuse if they do?
Based off this conversation, yes. Which adds even more to, that's what I was saying, it adds another team. It could add another spot into what is either beneficial for Auburn or detrimental to Auburn based off of what happens behind them.
Yeah, which brings up the conversation we had earlier, if that's the case.
Because since SMU is already in that last four in spot, if they lose, for all you know, they drop, but they drop to the last team in, a team like Indiana wins, you're not gaining an extra bubble spot that you need to fill. You're just replacing a team.
But in my opinion, if you're a bubble team, you should have to win some games here down the stretch to prove that you belong in. Because the argument is, well, if SMU was already in, then why would they show up to the ACC tournament? SMU is a different story than Purdue playing in the Big Ten tournament, right? SMU, you're a bubble team. You need to prove it. You need to show and prove that you belong.
Especially this year.
Especially this year, especially right now. Exactly. But for Auburn, you can't control any of that. You have no control over what happens around you. You control the games that are in front of you, and that starts tomorrow with Mississippi State at 2 o'clock. We'll talk about that game and wrap up the show right after this.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin, online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Winding down here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. We've talked a bunch of basketball today, baseball as well. Auburn baseball's head coach Butch Thompson joined us earlier today as well. So if you missed any of the conversation, you can always go back and listen to the podcast on our station website at ESPNAU.com. And here's how you know that bracketologists get paid to do something that doesn't matter, as much as we rely on it and enjoy it.
How funny is that, the reality to think about that?
Joe Lunardi updated bracketology last night. Auburn was the last team in. Indiana was the first team out. The ACC tournament broadcast on ESPN just showed the updated bracketology. Auburn and Indiana switched places. Indiana's now the first team, or the last team in, and Auburn is the first team out.
After but how both is, teams having practices before the tournament.
Both teams traveling to their conference tournaments. Did one team get there faster than the other? Nobody's played. Those two teams haven't done anything. And Lunardi switched places with them. Like, like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life. And I just had a spiritual, I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for?
Awakening?
Yeah, sure. Why do we have somebody at ESPN, somebody at Fox, somebody at CBS, somebody at Yahoo, somebody at On3, somebody in the basement out west,
and then 800 podcasts
that all do their own version of bracketology and make their predictions, but they don't actually have any impact or say on what happens with the actual NCAA tournament bracket? Why do we not, when the month of March hits, why doesn't the tournament committee come together and release a bracketology with what they're thinking? And here we are in Champ Week, and it's like, okay, as of 3:55 p.m. on Tuesday, March 2nd, because we just watched Stanford lose, here's our updated bracketology. Here's what we're thinking. Here's why we're thinking it.
It's like college football playoff rankings. When you get those after week 8, and that becomes the new ranking system because that's what actually matters.
Yeah, is it 100% and reflective of what the final say is going to be? No, but at least it's the people making the final decision.
These bracketologies or bracketologists are basically the coaches poll and the AP poll when it comes to the college football playoff rankings.
They don't mean anything.
They don't mean anything anymore.
But it's the only thing we have to go off of. So, I don't know. Auburn's got to win some games. They need some help along the way. They play Mississippi State tomorrow in the SEC tournament. 2 o'clock over on Wings 94.3. We will be on the air. Normal time, normal show tomorrow. A little bit different guest schedule because of that, but we'll be on the air reacting to the game as it happens. So we will be back tomorrow, 2 to 4, right here on ESPN 106.7. Until then, he's Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. We'll talk to you later.